And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. I've got plenty of time to spend with you today, and what I'd like to do is I want to share with you some of the things that are on my mind, and it's so easy to talk about the things that I see day in and day out, and I really think this could benefit everyone. One of the observations I've made, and it's a real simple one, if I have a patient call me, and let's just say that they're 75 years old and they're concerned about their mother or their father. And I know what you're thinking. How many 75-year-olds still have their parents? There's a few. And it's always so interesting. And you know, sometimes I remember about 2 weeks ago, a gentleman came to see me and I just loved, absolutely loved the way that he talked about his parents. And he told me that his father had passed away. And I tell you, I just thoroughly enjoyed all the nice things that he said about his father. I mean, I never saw that coming. To me, that is a benefit of just being there in front of him, to hear how much he loved his father and how much his father loved him and what a great man he was. You know, one lesson that I've learned the hard way. Sometimes you can be a really, really bad father or mother, but you can still have children that turn out really, really good. And I think you can read about that in the book of 1 and 2 Samuel and Kings and Chronicles in the Old Testament of the Bible. And sometimes you can be a great parent and have your children not turn out so well. And you know, that's probably where free will comes in. Everybody has a choice, and health is the same way. You have every opportunity to make choices and decisions on how you're going to take care of yourself. But one of the things that I've noticed is, if an older person, say in their 80s or maybe 90s, if all of a sudden they started thinking a little bit differently and maybe they become a bit more negative and they start maybe hallucinating or seeing things that aren't there, well, I start thinking dehydration. And of course, I'll take a few phone calls and, you know, from concerned patients about their parents. And usually we'll try to come up with a formula. So one of the ways that you can try to let me back up just for a second. Within the brain, you have these specific neurons and structures that are there to tell you when you're thirsty, or they're supposed to. And so one of the hallmarks of a brain that's not working near as well as it should is you start to lose your perception of thirst. So what do you do when you have a person, as they're aging, they no longer desire water? They don't want it. They don't drink it. They have no perception of thirst. But what they may do is they may go for something that's like really, really syrupy sweet. Maybe it's a Diet Pepsi. And that would be a poor choice, by the way. There's nothing in a Diet Pepsi that helps improve brain function of the body. Actually, it's a poison to the brain. You don't have to agree with that, but there are consequences to everything. So if you drink, you know, that, a diet soft drink that's sweetened with aspartame or Splenda, well, you're going to challenge your health at some point. And the truth is, we're trying to get your health to a point where it's really, really good. That means if it's not good. And if you want to maintain your health or continually improve, well, then you have to do things to get you there. And one of those things is just drinking water. I know it almost seems ridiculous that I would talk about drinking water, but it's so common for me to examine patients and find that they're very, very dehydrated. So one of the simple formulas that you could use yourself, and I'm just going to use 1/2 gallon of water as my starting measurement. Take 1/2 gallon of water. Hopefully it's clean. I'd prefer spring water. I just love the way that spring water tastes. And maybe it's just me, but spring water all by itself, it has kind of a sweet taste to it. I really, really like it. Now, without going into great detail, I'm just going to suggest to you that the average person is deficient in very critical minerals. And so one of the easiest things you could do to that 1/2 gallon of water is you could actually take a fresh whole lemon or a lime, if that's what you want, and squeeze it into that 1/2 gallon of water. Not only do you get the medicinal properties and the nutritional properties of the lemon or the lime, but you get the precious electrolytes. I think everyone has probably come to terms that you are a solar-powered battery. What are we going to do to charge you? And the way that you do that is you've got to have electrolytes. That means these are minerals that hold an electrical charge. If you were in the hospital, real sick on a bed with COVID, and you were woozy, and they saw that your sodium levels were low, or your potassium, or your chloride, you can bet your bottom dollar some super fabulous nurse is going to start an IV, and they're going to give you the electrolytes that you're lacking so your body can do its job and heal. And you know, sometimes I wonder to myself, all the doctors and nurses in the world, they really are hoping, maybe not so secretly, maybe openly, that the body will rise to the occasion and heal, and they'll turn around. I don't know any nurses or doctors that want you to be sick. All of them want you to be radiant and healthy and strong, right? So we take the half a gallon of water. You could squeeze either a lime or two or one whole lemon into it. And yeah, it makes a huge difference. A fresh lime or a fresh lemon, that stuff has this vital, energetic life force that the pasteurized bottled stuff just does not contain. And so if you have it within your ability to choose a fresh lemon or lime, do it. It makes all the difference in the world. And plus, lemon juice is one of the most interesting solvents that I know of. And when I say solvent, just like a mechanic would use gasoline to wash all the heavy embedded grease off their hands. Don't do that, by the way. That's toxic. A lemon is so good at washing and dissolving toxins from the body. So if you take that half gallon of water and you add the juice of one lemon to it, and then you take maybe a half a teaspoon, which is like super, super safe, of Celtic salt, or you could use pink Himalayan salt, you could use Redmond salt, but if you use a relatively unprocessed salt that comes in its natural form, then what you can do is stir that into the water, and the water is going to drink it up and love the salt. Then if you really wanted to make it great, you could use modern chemistry, which says if there's just a little bit of light sweetness in the water, it will help transport the water into the cells with the aid of the minerals and the electrolytes at a much more efficient rate and hold it there. I need you to remember that water doesn't make up its own mind what it's going to do once it gets there. It's told what to do. Your body says, hey, we need you over here in the liver. We need you in the kidneys. We need you in the eye cells. And so every good chemical reaction takes place in the presence of water. And so if your average cell harbors about 70% water inside the cell wall and the cell membrane, what happens if that decreases by just 2%? Let's just say it's down to, I'm just going to make up a number. Let's say it drops to 68% hydration levels. I really should say 65. Well, even a 2% drop in intracellular water usually results with a 20% reduction in energy production. Here, I'm looking out in the audience right now. Who wants to have fatigue? Nobody does. I see no hands going up. And so if you want to add something else to the water, if you could just add either, and there's a lot of options you have, but I'm kind of partial to taking advantage of the frozen grape concentrate. You've got to remember that everything that God has designed for us and given to us that we have a history of using, it's good for us. And if you take the frozen, you know, the purple grape concentrate, you could add 3 ounces to maybe 6 ounces of the frozen concentrate. And what you're doing is you're making like a very weak form of a Gatorade. So if you don't do anything else this day but rehydrate your body, you're doing your body a favor. And what you should notice is there's an improvement in your energy production. And the way that your body detoxifies and heals, it's all going to be better when you hydrate your body. And so I've seen many older people that they just couldn't think clearly. They had brain fog. They actually started seeing things that really weren't there. But when you rehydrate them, guess what? And they start coming back to their senses again. And just remember, your brain is mainly made of water. If I'm not mistaken, when they've examined the lungs of a human being, they're probably easily 95% pure water. So what should somebody do if they're prone to bronchitis or to asthma? Well, those are like classic dehydration cases. Or if somebody suffers from constipation, that can be a real hydration issue. So you could try sipping on your new homemade Gatorade or Powerade, whatever you want to call it. You could call it Royal Aid. Anyway, this next one, though, this one really gets me because I see it over and over and over again. Now, I know that you know this, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you again anyway, because there's a lot of smart people out there. And the thing that I really enjoy about this is I like it when people are super curious. It's fine by me if you look up everything you want on the internet. Now, I will do my job. If you say, hey, Dr. Morgan, I've heard that taking methamphetamines is good for you, I'll try to talk you out of that, and I'm not going to let you do that without maybe a fight. You can still do it if you want to, but that's not in your best interest. There's nothing in methamphetamines that actually restores, you know, a person's health. Came this from Nourishing Traditions. Okay. And what I want to do is I want to talk about vitamin B12 just for a second. And one of the reasons why B vitamins are so just incredibly important to the human body is you've got to have them for rejuvenation. And so here's my sales pitch to you. If you have cells that are lacking water and they're lacking sufficient amounts of B12, well, what do you expect them to do? I can tell you this, they're going to underperform. They will never reach their full potential. They're not going to work anywhere close to the way that God designed them because, number one, you're dehydrated. So if a normal cell produces somewhere between 3.9 volts of electricity to 4.1 volts of electricity, how much electricity can you produce in your battery when you don't have enough water in there? Now, not everybody remembers this because modern batteries are sealed, but it used to be that you had to add water or maybe water and sulfuric acid to your battery. Do you remember back in the 1970s, say 1972, you'd pull up at a gas station, and not only would you fill up with gas, but you might pop the tops on your your batteries. And I think every gas station back then, they had a water hose. Or, you know, you could squeeze the nozzle on to get just a trickle of water out. And I saw it over and over again, because when I was a boy growing up, we had a small grocery store right there on Lake Ray Hubbard. That's in the Mesquite, Dallas-Fort Worth area. I drove by there the other day. And you know what? I really thought about turning on the exit on Chaha Road and doing a U-turn and coming back on that service road there on I-30, but I didn't do it because I was trying to get somewhere. But I looked and I said, I wanted to go in there and just tell them that I used to play inside all those aisles. You talk about great fun stocking groceries. Do you realize what the joy and pleasure it is just being able to do work? Work is so good. And if you could teach your kids how to work when they're really young, you're doing them a huge favor. And now this is just my opinion, but I don't think kids need allowance. I don't. I think it ruins them. They start to get the idea that they're entitled and they deserve $20 a week for doing nothing. Well, I know, I'm just saying that. But anyway, let me talk about B12 for just a little bit, because every one of us need it. And I think it becomes more critical as you age. Okay, so vitamin B12, I'm going to kind of propose to you, it may end up being one of the most challenging vitamins to get enough of. And so we only need just a teeny tiny amount of it. But it's one of those vitamins that, in my experience, it's the one that makes life worth living. And so, and I'm going to use a woman as my example. I'm not saying this doesn't happen in men, but I'm going to use a woman as my example, and here's the reason why. Exactly every 28 days, a woman has what's called her fertility cycle, or her natural reproductive cycle. And so she loses fluid, and in the fluid she uses as a way to kind of recharge and prepare the uterus to be fertile and have a baby, she loses some blood, and in that blood is vitamin B12. Now, I know you know this, but you've got to have B12 to make white blood cells, and you got to have B12 to make platelets. And your bone marrow, it loves B12 if it's going to make all those things that keep you strong and healthy. Do you know you need B12 to make a red blood cell? Well, yeah, you need all those things. And so if I say one of the ways that you know that you're doing well is you don't have any symptoms and you feel really, really good. Now, that's not the only metric or the only criteria, but as opposed to being totally exhausted all the time, not able to get off the bed, you're so exhausted and, you know, humped over and you're so just drained you can't even move. Well, that's not a good situation to be in. So we want to try to remedy that. But B12 is one of those things that you've got to have if you want to be happy. And so when someone is low in B12, well, what are you going to see? Well, one of the things that you could see very easily is you could just feel like you're so depressed and you're so down and things aren't going to go well. Another big one as far as a neurological autoimmune disease is multiple sclerosis. I still remember that story of the woman that had highly advanced dementia and she received B12 injections and all of a sudden her mind starts coming back to her. But there are so many psychiatric disorders such as obsessive compulsive behavior. I'd say even mania, or I should say bipolar and manic depression. Not to mention people that have cancer. I always think that if cancer, you have to give the body what it needs to do its job. And if you're low in vitamin B12, well, guess what you're going to have? You're going to have less than the optimal performance you want of your immune system. And so even if you start looking at the studies on vitamin B12 and Alzheimer's, I mean, they're just right there neck and neck. The lower the B12, the more Alzheimer's. One of the most accurate tests that you could do or order for yourself or request that it be ordered, and just go to your family nurse practitioner. Now, that would be the simplest recommendation that I could make to anyone listening. If you want a blood test, go to the nurse practitioner and just state your case like, I'm tired and exhausted. Could you do a CBC with a differential? And that's easy for them to do. They could also tack on a vitamin B12 level. That would be appropriate if you're not healing or maybe your mind is not as sharp as it used to be and you have fatigue. But the other test that seems to be really, really good at nailing this down is homocysteine levels. Have you ever heard of that lab test called homocysteine? Well, homocysteine is one of those markers that's super, super precise. And so they say that elevated homocysteine is actually 40 times more predictive of a person about to have a cardiovascular event than doing a lipid profile. You may not know what a lipid profile is, but that's pretty simple. It's your total cholesterol, your HDL, LDL, VLDL, and usually triglycerides. All those things are used day in, day out to try to assess a person's state of health. But if your homocysteine starts going up above 7.7, that's where you have an increasingly greater risk of developing Alzheimer's. So let's just say that you're kind of thinking right now about this, and you're thinking, well, I don't understand what Dr. Morgan is saying about vitamin B12, but I know this. If I look at the health of my mother and father, or maybe my grandparents, and let's just say it this way. Let's just say there's a family history of some type of degenerative brain disease like Parkinson's or like Alzheimer's or dementia or some other neurological issue like I just mentioned, multiple sclerosis, or if someone in the family has depression or anxiety or psychoses. Well, these are all splendid applications for trying to consider B12. One of the earliest signs of a B12 deficiency is going to be fatigue, and we kind of cover that. So if you were to go to the doctor or a nurse practitioner, you could say, could you please do a CBC, that stands for cell blood count or complete blood count. That's a great test. That's one of my most favorite ones of all time. Oh, my word, the things that you can learn about what's going on inside of your body if you just have that lab test. And you know what? The purpose of the lab test is to benefit you. Now, one thing that I'm going to give you a small piece of advice, never let someone tell you everything looks fine. Meaning, if you haven't seen the results for yourself, just simply request them. And you could call the office and say, I'd like a copy of my labs, pretty please, with sugar on top. And when you get it, then decide. Now, if everything is fine, then great. Man, are we moving in a good direction? Good for you. You're doing great. But what if your mean corpuscular volume is 93 or above? Well, that right there is a sign of a B12 deficiency. What if a person's anemic? That could be a sign of a B12 deficiency. What if a person has a low white blood cell count? Now, in my opinion, I'm just going to tell you what I think. Because what I'm into is healing and rejuvenation and repair. That is what's fun. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine if you're able to live up to your full God-given potential and be productive? And, you know, when I say be productive, isn't it great having one of those jobs where you can provide a service that actually helps the world become a better place? Or maybe you have a product that you sell that by selling that product, the world is grateful and thankful to you. Now, in my opinion, there are jobs that do not accomplish either one of those. Number one, they don't give you either a service or a product that benefit anybody. And I'm not going to mention what those are, but I'm pretty sure you've had the same thoughts as I have. So, you got to have B12 to make all this stuff work. But one of the very first signs of a B12 deficiency, besides just experiencing fatigue or a lack of energy, is going to be tingling in the hands and the feet. A lot of sleep disorders, and especially in men that have highly irrational anger, which means there's no reason for them to be angry, but they're angry, you can start thinking about vitamin B12. Now, this is where I probably part ways with a lot of people on my personal research and studies on vitamin B12. You got to admit something, though. B12 is incredible. And you know what? I'm saying that also because the one that designed it and made it, he is incredible. God is the most amazing designer of everything that we need to benefit ourselves. You don't really get B12 from vegetables. I know that may be hard to swallow. There's a lot of people that believe in that. But from my experience, you can't make vegetables supply you with B12. I love vegetables. And trust me, I want you eating broccoli and asparagus and onions and garlic. And if you want to have a sweet potato for lunch, perfect. If you want to slice a tomato on your plate and sprinkle some salt, even better. If you want to cut open an avocado and eat it on the spot, perfect. But they don't have appreciable amounts of B12. Well, guess where you get B12 from? You're going to get it from an animal product. So, if you had a tuna fish salad for lunch, that's got plenty of B12. If you eat eggs, there's B12 in that. What about a ribeye steak? Or I should say, I have an image of in my mind of a T-bone steak. That is going to give you B12. But you know what the greatest source of vitamin B12 of all time is? I'm telling you, the stuff is amazing. If you want to start to rejuvenate your health, you got to give your body what it needs to make repairs. I mean, doesn't that make sense? And so when you start giving your body B12 from beef liver, oh my goodness, now you're giving your body a chance to heal and repair. What if you don't like those things? Well, you might want to eat fish. Personally, I have no problem with you eating shrimp if that's what you want to do. If you do not want to eat shrimp, I have no problem with that either. That's your choice. But I'm not going to chastise you if you eat a shrimp or if you don't. Either way, it's your choice. So one of the ways that I think we could start to turn the health of America around is you've got to eat foods that have B12 in them. Now, if I say beef liver, you know what that means. One of the ways that's been universally prepared is a dish called liver and onions. Well, you can eat that if you want or not eat if you want. I tell you what, very few people show enthusiasm toward that because they don't like the way it tastes, and that's okay. It really is. But if you want to rejuvenate your body, if you want to extend your productivity, if you want to be able to walk the earth a little bit longer, now I realize we're in God's hands. We are. If your days are numbered, mine are definitely numbered, but you want to give yourself the very best possible chance to be as healthy as possible. You know, what is the secret to living a long time? Well, don't die. There's the secret right there. And so if you engage in behaviors that cause massive loss of B vitamins, how are you going to live a long time? And so if I were to quote some modern research to you, oh, rats, I forgot that one. I've got this right here, though. When I was looking at who actually has the highest occurrence of cancer, is it men or is it women? Well, the answer, it's men. Well, are there any subgroups in men that have the most cancer? Well, the answer is pretty easy. Yep, it's the ones that drink alcohol. And so if you want to find a way to cause a condition called leaky gut syndrome, if you wanted to make your liver die and fail and destroy your body, well, drinking lots of alcohol is a pretty good way of doing that. I will not judge you if you tell me you want to drink a little bit of red wine or if you say you're going to drink a beer once a week. That's not a problem at all to me. I don't, but if you want to, that's fine. It's your choice. But there's going to be a certain level of alcohol intake that you're going to start depleting your body of B vitamins. It's going to catch you and mess you up. It will. You want to destroy the brain and the body? Alcohol is a pretty good way of doing that. You know, I was looking up, what was the, and this is going to be unbelievable, but I'm going to tell you anyway. So I looked back at the year 1930, and I said, okay, what's the mortality rate for all forms of cancer in the United States in 1930? And they said it, and this number is real precise, by the way. So whoever does this, statisticians or an actuary, they know the numbers really, really well. But they said that back in 1930, 152.4 people, I'll just say 152, there was 152 deaths for every 100,000 persons living in America. That was 1930. Well, do you know what it is right now in 2020? Well, that's where it came from. I know that's 2 years behind. I know we're living in 2022, but it's the same. There's been no change in the number of cancer deaths. It's 152 per 100,000 people. And so I looked up this stat right here. Now, in this article, it's saying that over the past 27 years of the war on cancer, what's the two-year survival of newly diagnosed cancer patients? You want to guess? Can I just say the last 30 years to make it simple? 7%. That means, and I'm not saying this to bring you down, one of the reasons why I talked about B12 a while ago and rehydrating your body is because it's smart to do those things. And you know what else happens? When you drink water or your own homemade Gatorade or herbal tea or green tea, or if you took a splash of pomegranate juice and put it in your water to make it taste better, if that's what you want, that's fine by me. You know what you're really doing? You're caring for yourself. You're telling yourself that you matter, and you're showing yourself some love. Now, how can you love your neighbor as yourself if you don't love yourself? Well, by hydrating your body, you're telling all your cells that you love yourself. Repeat after me, I love me. I mean that in a good way. I don't mean it in an arrogant, narcissistic sort of way. And plus, it's fun taking care of other people and looking after the needs of other people. And you know what? I'm talking to myself here. I'm reminding myself today that I should spend more time and energy praying to our God in the heavens above for people that are sick. And yes, you already know there's people that are in the hospital right now. Or they're in hospital beds in their own home. Or they're in a nursing home or rehab facility. Or they're in prison and they're hurting right now. And so I want to remind myself to use my energy in a positive way, doing something productive. And I'm confident that if I pray, then I'm doing my duty and doing something good. But over the past 30 years of the war on cancer, you know what the two-year survival rate is of newly diagnosed cancer patients? 7%. Now, I'm not trying to be negative, but that means 93% don't make it. You get what I'm saying? Okay. Here's the stats on chemotherapy. And you know what? Do whatever you think is the best step for you to take to live if you come down with a diagnosis of cancer. I'm not going to judge you. But if you ask my opinion, I'm going to tell you. And one of the things that I want you to do is I want you to hydrate your body. That's one of the reasons why I kind of hammered away on alcohol a while ago, is because you drink enough alcohol, you're going to be so dehydrated, it's not even funny. But alcohol severely depletes you of vitamin B12. And folks, besides what I mentioned about the brain function and your mood, you've got to have vitamin B12. If you're going to be radiant, strong, and healthy, and your immune system's going to do its job. You know, there's a type of a white blood cell that comes from a... have you ever heard of a white blood cell called a monocyte? Well, a monocyte comes from the bone marrow. So let's just say that you have these very specialized cells that live deep in your bone marrow called a stem cell. And a stem cell is like a factory. Instead of making M1 Abrams tanks, they make what's called a monocyte, which is maybe like an M1 Abrams tank that goes onto the battlefield. But a monocyte is going to go to a place in your small intestine called Peyer's patches. And there it grows into what's called a macrophage. And one of the jobs of a macrophage is to remove anything that doesn't belong inside of your body. So, do you want to give a chance for your macrophages to work? Well, you can't do that and drink a lot of alcohol at the same time. It's just impossible. Drinking alcohol is almost like a recipe for destroying your macrophages where they can't do their job. And actually, the more that I study this topic, I'm leaning so heavily toward anything that improves the function of your macrophages. Now, there's how you start treating cancer. And if you want to call that immunotherapy, that is fine by me. You can approach it from a lot of different ways. And I think I told one person that there's a supplement that's used very specifically to treat knee pain. You've heard of glucosamine sulfate? Well, the one that I'm referring to right now is called chondroitin sulfate. And they've shown in some studies that taking chondroitin sulfate is actually really, really good in one way or another to helping your macrophages do their job. I like it. Talk about a cheap, simple supplement. And you know what else helps? Vitamin D. I think there's an irrational fear concerning too much vitamin D. Personally, I've never seen it. Now, I've read about it, but if the vitamin D levels were around 100, well, I'm going to have to study that topic more. I don't know why somebody's so afraid of that. But if your vitamin D levels are 25, well, there's no way that your body can respond to a cancer. We've got to get that up to a useful level where your body can put it to work. And so the 5-year survival for somebody that undergoes chemotherapy is 2%. That's it. That means literally there's a 98% failure rate. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Dr. Morgan, good morning. So my question is about my father-in-law. He's in his 60s, and he's been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. His kidneys aren't in real good shape. He has allergies to milk. He's definitely a little bit overweight, but his feet give him trouble, so walking and exercise hasn't been his thing. And he works at a computer. So, but my wife's trying to help him with at least trying to figure out a way to keep his sugar levels at a manageable weight or a rate without insulin.
Okay. One of the simple things that he could do right now is just, if you were to go on a website called Amazon.com, I'm only saying that because it's simple to go to and look at it. But you can get these for $40 to $45 You can buy these stationary bike pedals that he can install right under his desk, and he can pedal away while he's on the computer. And the reason I'm saying that is, unless he starts moving the blood through his kidneys, they're going to remain very weak. It's just like, I don't want to overtalk the topic, but without enough blood flow going to the kidneys, you can't deliver enough nutrients, whether it's protein or fat or carbohydrates or vitamins or minerals or oxygen. And so one of the things is we got to find a way to get him to move. And so since he sits down a lot and exercise is not his thing, maybe he can just pedal away at those pedals for about an hour and a half a day. Because most of the studies that I've looked at, they show in order to reset the body, it takes about an hour and a half a day to turn the diabetes around without insulin, which I like your plan very much, or I like your wife's plan.
Yeah.
And so that'll be an essential. But, you know, the topic that I was just discussing about vitamin B12? That's all right. But I was discussing it earlier. Vitamin B12 is one of them. Is the problem with low B12 is it causes diabetes.
Huh.
And so the two things that have, they're the enemies of vitamin B12 are going to be sugar. Hi. the kid talks better than I do. Yeah, but when you're low in B12, you're asking for diabetes to accelerate and go in the wrong direction. Do you think that he would eat things like a meat and vegetable diet and just give up grains?
I think he's at that point of being willing to do that. He's concerned, well, there's been talk about the concern of getting too much protein being hard on his kidneys.
Well, and I get that. But I don't know that I'm going to focus on that. What I would do is I would tell him to take about a half a teaspoon of plain Jane Arm & Hammer baking soda, stir it in water, and drink that every morning. Now, if he skips breakfast, he'll start to cure his diabetes instantly. And so if he just ate two meals a day, just lunch and supper, of meat and vegetables, everything will start to turn around.
Yeah, see, that's one reason I wanted to call you, because he's been told by, I think, his doctor that fasting is the worst thing he can do because it makes his body go into some sort of trying to counterbalance.
No, and see, he's right. Fasting is the very worst thing you can do if you're going to rely on drugs. He's right. If you're going to do a drug-only approach, then fasting is the worst thing you can do, because you know what the results of fasting would be? You'd get off drugs. And there's a lot of drug companies that wouldn't be happy about that.
Yeah.
And so the doctor's right. Fasting is absolutely the very worst thing that your father-in-law can do, because then if he did it, he would be healed and wouldn't need the drugs. So I can see that. Now, the reason I can say that is because we used to own a Rexall pharmacy when I was a boy, and my father was a drug salesman. So, yeah. I don't want you preventing me from eating breakfast, so I need you to support the pharmacy as much as possible. You know I'm being sarcastic, don't you?
Oh, I do.
I can work that.
I was pretty sure that I'd heard you say more than once that diabetes, the best thing you can do is,
yeah, it is,
intermittent fasting.
Well, what you're doing is you're causing his insulin levels to go lower and lower and lower. And that's, if I said that's the secret to longevity, that would be 100% true. So the higher the insulin, the shorter his life on earth is going to be. I want your dad or your father-in-law to live. And so if he starts skipping breakfast and just eating two really, really good meals a day where he really got a lot of good stuff, he'll start to heal.
Okay, so the half teaspoon of baking soda every morning.
Yeah, you have to, and the purpose of that is to help soothe the inflamed kidneys.
Okay.
But I think he should, now this is just my opinion right here. I've been down this road a whole bunch of times with people that were scared of eating protein. But on one level, you gotta have protein to get your body to heal and repair itself.
Okay.
It's the carbohydrates, so it's gonna be the grains that I'm most concerned about, especially the starchy ones. The starchy ones are like an atomic bomb blowing up inside the stomach, just blowing up sugar everywhere, which makes it worse for him. So we're just trying to gently encourage him to heal.
Yeah, I think his doctor did tell him to try to stay away from rice and potatoes and, you know, starch.
Yeah, and, or if he has rice and potatoes occasionally, if he would just heat them up, and then once they're done, put them immediately in the refrigerator and take them out the next day, what that does is it welds the sugar together, and you only get half the carbohydrates. And that actually does work at lowering blood sugar.
Okay, yeah. I remember you saying that, too, and I was going to suggest that. But
no, that's a good suggestion you came up with.
Okay.
But the other thing is your dad's got to start getting more nutrient-dense foods. Now, obviously, if he ate a meal of liver and onions once a week, I would not complain at all.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think he would eat liver. He has a thing against the organ meats for some reason. But
I know I'm sort of joking with you by saying this, but that's the only way I can ever get the kidneys well is by giving them kidney extracts. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've just tried over and over and over again. You've got to have the building blocks of life, and those are called amino acids and proteins.
Okay,
and, and so does he like to eat things like sardines or salmon, or does he like to eat ribeye steaks, eggs?
I think he likes ribeye steaks, although his teeth are not in real good shape, so chewing tough stuff is difficult for him.
Oh, well, okay, I see. Well, it may be that fish is one of the easier deals just because it's much easier to chew up.
Right, yeah, it would be. But what about high fat? Do we need to try to push?
Let's put it this way. Fat doesn't do anything to increase insulin levels, so I think that's a good choice and a smart call. What would be the fats that he would be agreeable to eating? Does he like stuff cooked in butter and coconut oil, and he's like olive oil salad dressings?
I think so, yes.
Okay, well, that's a good start then.
I don't know how sensitive he is to dairy, but I think he can have butter.
You did say something a while ago about dairy, and I'm sorry about that, but butter is one of those rare substances that when you consume it, it helps you absorb more nutrients from the food that you're eating. So if your father had green beans in front of him, if you put a pat of butter on him, he's going to absorb more of the nutritional density from the green beans or the broccoli than if he did not.
Right. Okay.
Do you think that he would be agreeable to getting some of those exercise bike pedals that he could put under his workspace or his desk and just start pedaling when he's working?
I don't know. I'll definitely.
Let me ask you this: Does he want to live?
That's a good question because. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
His wife died a week ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that. Well, I didn't ask that question to be inappropriate at all.
No.
You just kind of ask a question with all conditions being equal, but I'm very sorry for him. I'm sorry for the loss of his wife.
Yeah. She was trying to help him keep his, but she was doing all the choosing food and whatnot. Now that she's gone, my wife's going to try to, from a distance, because we live in Tennessee and she's in Maine, she's going to try.
Oh, my goodness. He lives in Maine?
Yeah.
I bet you they're having snow right now, aren't they?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm so proud of your wife for trying to take care of her dad. What a good daughter she is.
She is.
She's like an amazing woman, isn't she?
That's an understatement.
Well, I can tell that she taught your children how to talk. I can hear them.
Yeah.
You've got a great life, don't you?
I do.
I'm so happy for you. Praise God. Well, I really am rooting for you and your father-in-law, and tell your wife she's doing the right thing. And it may be that she needs just to be very firm and persistent to try to help him through this very, very difficult time.
Yes.
Does he have anybody else up there that can help him? Not really?
Well, if anybody else is real help-minded in that way. So.
Yeah, and you're looking for rejuvenation and healing.
Yeah, we're kind of hoping that once he, starts getting used to life without his wife for a while, he'll consider moving south.
Maybe to Tennessee, right?
Yeah, maybe.
What's the town in Tennessee that y'all live closest to?
Manchester.
How big a town is Manchester?
I think they're like 11,000.
Okay, so it's really a small town, right?
Yeah, fairly. Yeah.
Well, good deal. Well, let me know how this plays out. I'm rooting for him. I sure am sorry for his loss.
Thank you. Oh, but one last thing, that with his knees, he's always had knees. His knees have been weak. Obviously, being overweight hasn't helped that. But he kind of has an idea, I think, that the more he uses his knees, the worse they're going to get.
The exact opposite is the truth.
I know.
no, and I get it.
Otherwise.
Yeah, and the truth is, the more that he pedals on the bicycle, and I really am telling you the truth, pedaling on those stationary bike pedals, that is absolutely the easiest thing that he can do. But if he doesn't do that, his knees are going to hurt worse.
But I would think.
Over the last 32 years I've done this, I've had so many people walk in my office that felt the same way. And once they took a leap of faith to actually start exercising their knees, it's the only way you get them working.
Yeah, I had, I guess when I was in my about 10 years ago, I started having knee trouble, and then I realized I just need to do squats and go down the stairs backwards and things like that.
So, well, how did it work out?
Oh, my knees are stronger than ever.
There you go. You're my example.
Right.
Great. That's very, very good.
Now, when he starts, if I get him on the bicycle, it's gonna hurt at first, right?
No, it's not gonna hurt. It's not really gonna hurt at all. I mean, he may moan and groan and complain if he wants to. He can, but that's what they sell at PetSmart, these electric shock collars that you can put on somebody. And if they complain, you give them just a vibration buzz. And if they complain twice, that's where you want to do a little bit of electrical current. No, I'm joking about that. No, it's not going to hurt him at all, but he's going to have to get over his fear. And I'm telling you, is he listening right now?
He's not.
Okay, well, it's just so irrational for him to set his mind like, if I do this. But you know what? He's afraid because he hadn't done this before. And so you're going to tell him the truth. Actually, look up articles. The stronger the knees, the less the pain. And you can use your own example as a starting point, as a testimony to talk to him. But the bike pedals are going to be the easiest thing that he can do that I know of. I could tell him to swim in the Atlantic Ocean, but it might be a little cold right now for, balmy, warm swimming. Actually, what you could do is your daughter could go on Amazon.com and buy him $44.95 those stationary bike pedals and just have them mailed to him.
Okay, and that's the whole, because we have one of those, I think we got from Aldi, that you have to use a regular bicycle and it's like the stand for it. But what you're saying is it's the pedals and everything.
Yeah, these are portable. You could either put them up on the table and you could do your arms and you could pedal that way, like if somebody had like if somebody's in a wheelchair. They could do their upper body exercises, but with him, he could just put them down on the ground in front of a couch if he wants to and pedal away while he's watching TV, if that's what he does.
That's nice.
Yeah. Well, it really is the easiest program to know of. Of course, if I had my way, I'd have him start rubbing his legs and knees down with extra virgin olive oil. We got to start lubing them up so they can start doing their job. You know what those knees are for? They're to carry you to do good work and service to other people, right?
Right.
Okay, good. But he's probably severely low in B12, and that's what you have when you're low in B12. Your feet hurt all the time.
Exactly.
And because he has what's called a diabetic neuropathy, it's just there's so much damage to the nerves. But I'm telling you the truth, all that can be turned around if he wants it to. He just has to set his mind like Flint that I am going to do this. I'm going to get on there and I'm going to pedal for 30 seconds. That's all I'm going to do. And then an hour later, I'm going to do it for a minute. You know, the thing of it is, God has designed the body to adapt to stress. You've got to have stress to get the body to work. And so he's got to put stress on his body if he wants his kidneys to work better. But if he starts pedaling, oh my word, we're going to start running about 15 extra gallons an hour of blood through his kidneys. And his kidneys are going to go, well, where's this nutrition coming from? We hadn't seen this in a while. We love all this oxygen. Thanks for more water. So if we can start doing these things with just the bike pedals, then we can start moving in the right direction. And plus, he's going to do whatever your wife tells him to do, right?
I hope so. I do.
Well, you're coming from a position of love, so it's all good. I'm really rooting for you.
Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. I hope you have a great day, buddy, and a great weekend in Tennessee.
Thanks. I will. I appreciate your show. I often just listen to the podcast later because I don't have...
Gotcha. Well, I'm glad you got in today. You made my day. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. There's the phone line once again open, 903-586-5257. If you'd like to call, that's not... This program is Health Essentials, by the way. 903-586-5257. You know, okay, we'll go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Dr. Morgan, what's going on?
I'm getting really hot in a hot radio station.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Have you ever heard of a thing called the window or the fan?
Well, I keep telling them to move all the equipment outdoors, but they keep telling me it's going to rain on it, so that hadn't happened.
Well, you know how they used to do that Gatorade over these coaches? You could try that.
Well, if I had a team behind me, they'd probably dump it on my head right now.
A good exercise. Hey, blepharitis, talk about it if you would, please. I got a pretty good case of it.
Well, you got to have vitamin A for all the mucous line membranes, especially the eye. And so if I told you the eye uses so much oxygen,
yeah,
it's incredible. That's one of the reasons if you have blepharitis, yeah, put a warm washcloth directly over your eye. And if you can find some creative way to keep that warm, you're going to draw more blood, more oxygen, more nutrition, and that's going to help heal the blepharitis.
Okay, I just bought a warm compress yesterday.
Well, good choice. That was smart. The other thing that I'm going to ask you to do is, I tell you what, I'm almost hesitant to say this, but I'm going to tell you what I would do if it were me.
Good, tell me.
Well, it's brutal, though.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. If it were me that I had blepharitis, what I would do is I would take maybe 1 to 2 drops of fresh lemon juice and I would rub it on the outside of my eye. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to sting like hellfire.
Okay.
But the pain will go away. And then I would probably take just a drop or two of extra virgin olive oil,
okay,
and I would rub all over the edge of the eyelids, meaning where the follicles are.
All right, down by where the... A base of the eyelashes.
Yep, but the one or two nutrients that I know that I like to use when there's blepharitis is what's called vitamin A.
Okay.
And so if you're not used to taking cod liver oil every day, that might be a really good starting point for you to help strengthen your eyes.
Okay, good.
But you get vitamin A. The one food that has more vitamin A than any other that I'm aware of, it's called beef liver.
Oh, I just bought some yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. This is working out better than I thought. This is great.
I'm a psychic.
Well, we're on the same wavelength. How about that?
I didn't say psychotic. I said psychic.
Did you just say you were psychotic or psychic? Which one is it?
I'm sorry.
Okay, but if you would eat liver and onions, that'd be good. The other thing that you could do is just start eating carrots. And I really think in this situation, if you have cooked carrots...
Uh-huh.
You'll get a little bit more nutrition than if they were raw, but I'm totally for carrot juice if you want to do it.
Okay, I've got some bone broth I got at Costco. I love to put...
Oh, man, good choice.
Okay.
Now, I'm a pretty good judge of age by listening to the voice, but you sound like you could be 53 or 52. Which one is it?
I'm actually 13.
Boy, did I miss that one. Okay, I'll keep trying.
I'm on Medicare, I'll put it that way, a couple of years.
Now, the other thing that I really want you to do, and you've got a bunch of options here, but if it were me and I had blepharitis,
no,
I would either eat a small handful of raisins. Now, raisins and grapes, those things are pretty heavily sprayed with chemicals, so if you look for them, just get the organic raisins.
Okay, I take resveratrol.
Good. Well, don't stop taking resveratrol.
Okay.
If you take resveratrol, that's a vote that you want to live, so keep it up.
Okay.
But if you'll do the lemon juice,
okay,
and the olive oil, and I'm probably, the more that I use it, I really like the unfiltered extra virgin olive oil because I think it has quite a bit more chlorophyll and nutrients. But you're trying to heal your eye. But keep working your warm compress. That's really smart. I'm really proud of you.
Well, I actually got it last year, and I thought it was a one-off, and this year I got it again.
I wish it was a one-off, but if it's come back, that means there's some underlying weakness, and I'm going to go with zinc and vitamin A right now.
Okay. I've got eczema.
Well, don't drink dairy products. Don't consume anything with milk in it.
I don't. I don't think I've had milk in 50 years.
Well, start rubbing the olive oil all over the eczema and see if it doesn't help it disappear and go away. The other thing that I would probably take, and I realize I'm looking at the clock, I just have a smidgen of time.
Right.
I would use what's called calf thymus extract.
Okay.
That's one thing that's going to really help you get stronger now.
Okay.
And that could be in the form of like a capsule or a tablet at a health food store.
Right. Now, is eczema a liver problem or a kidney problem?
I'm going to go more to the liver, but it's an autoimmune problem. Your body's attacking itself, and that's why I said thymus extract. And if you give up dairy and sugar and wheat and just eat meat and vegetables with a little bit of berries, the eczema will start to disappear.
Okay.
All right, sir. Thank you for your call today. Appreciate it a whole lot.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. With your perception of thirst. And you know what? There comes a point where your brain becomes so weak and your hypothalamus just ceases to work properly where you can't even determine if you're thirsty. Boy, did I read the numbers wrong on there. I thought it said 758. It's 756. I could have kept that guy on the air for two more minutes. I botched that one. Okay. I made a mistake. We know it. Good morning. You have about a minute and a half. Oh, there we go. I pushed the wrong button. Here we go. How are you today?
Fine. Listen, I know I don't have much time. One of my twins have been diagnosed with fibroid cyst, and she's pretty healthy.
Did you say thyroid?
Fibroid cyst. She's pretty healthy, and she exercises. What minerals and vitamins does she need?
Well, in my mind, the top mineral that she probably wants is called iodine.
Okay.
And so, and I realize this is kind of like a general statement that I'm making, but when you're low in iodine, that's when cysts really seem to want to form more easily anywhere in the human body. And you know, cysts can form anywhere. You can get them in the kidneys, you can get them in the liver, the thyroid, which is what I thought you originally said, so I'm sorry I botched that. But iodine,
in the ovaries.
Well, and that's iodine is what you want.
Okay.
So if I had to choose just two minerals that day in and day out I see make cysts go away in the ovaries, then you're looking at either zinc or iodine.
Okay. Can you do both?
Absolutely you can. And actually, and I'm not trying to make a joke by saying this, but God designed the ovaries to have a great need for both iodine and zinc.
Okay.
And never underestimate what happens when you give the human body what it needs. Now, I would say the food that's probably anti-zinc and anti-iodine, that's going to be sugar.
Right. I told
you. I mean, if you eat too much sugar. Now, if you get sugar from eating an apple, I don't know that I'm ever going to scold anybody over that.
Right. How much iodine and how much zinc should be,
well,
be taken?
Back in the year 1999, they did a survey of people that were living a real long time on the island of Okinawa, Japan, and they were consuming about 12 milligrams of iodine a day.
Okay.
And if there was a cyst on the ovary, I would say probably 30 milligrams of zinc will do the job. Now, the reason I mentioned sugar a while ago, you can't replenish the body and give it tons of sugar at the same time. It doesn't work that way.
Okay.
But I think you understand that. I know.
Yes, I've told her that.
What a good mother you are. Good job.
Thank you, Dr. Moore.
You're welcome. Thanks for your phone call. I appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Have a great weekend, man. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.